Good morning. That first reading is from the beginning of the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. It's worthy of note so that you can find it. Most people do not read the book of Isaiah. It's 66 chapters long. That's a fairly good reason these days. But if you listen to the readings in the liturgy, almost all of them, three quarters, are taken from the last section, beginning with this very reading at chapter 40. And if you look at the Haftarah passages in the synagogue, it's the same. And the reason for that is this. Basically, Isaiah, all the prophetic books are anthologies of prophecies, and some of them get out of order and whatnot. But by and large, mostly, the first 39 chapters are prophecies from old man Isaiah himself. In the 700s, when Israel was fat and happy, and Assyria was beginning to emerge as a cloud on the horizon, and Isaiah was thundering, "Y'all are too fat and too happy. You're forgetting your covenant with God, and you're not living up to it. If you all don't straighten up, God will straighten you out." Well, while those warnings are necessary, they're not very pleasant. So we tend to skip over them, all 39 chapters worth. But beginning with chapter 40, it's a whole different period. It's now the 500s. Assyria is no more a cloud on the horizon. They've come, swept away the whole northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel. Behind them have come the Babylonians, who have swept away the two tribes remaining in the south, the kingdom of Judah. Jerusalem is desolate, and a large percentage of the population, just about anybody who was anybody, has all been deported to Babylon, and it looks like it may be over. Well, at this point, Isaiah is, of course, long dead. It's been over 100 years. But his school has been maintained. His disciples and the disciples of his disciples are still prophesying in his name. And now their message is very different. Remember the covenant that we were threatening you with way back? Well, it's still a reality. And now it is your hope. That covenant means that while you have broken the covenant, God does not. While you have gotten yourself in a bunch of trouble, God will get you out of it. God will heal you. God will bring you home from exile. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill made low. The rough places plain, the crooked straight. And people believed and hung on. And sure enough, it happened. Later that century, the Babylonian kingdom went under, and the successor empire of the Medes and the Persians, decided on an enlightened captive nations policy, and they let the various peoples go home, the Jews among them. They went back to Israel, and they rebuilt the temple, and they began to pick up their national life again. But the valleys hadn't been exalted. The hills were still there, they had not been made low. The winding places were still winding and the rough places still rough. And people looked at all that exuberant prophecy of Isaiah and said, "There is more to come. God's promises will be fulfilled in their fullness. What we've got now is only a down payment. God will do more. God will fulfill this prophecy." Hundreds of years later, Mark takes that same quotation from Isaiah and uses it to introduce the mission of John the Baptizer pointing to Jesus, saying, see, now that prophecy that was made so long ago is being fulfilled in a much higher and deeper level. And sure enough, in the birth and life, in the preaching and healing, in the dying and rising of Jesus, that prophecy is fulfilled many times over. But the valleys are still valleys, and the hills are still hills, and the winding ways still lead us around in circles, and the rough places have not gotten any plainer, and life is still hard, and injustice is still prevalent, and all kinds of evil still dwells in the world. And people say, see, there is yet more to God's promise. Since the proclamation of Jesus, since his death and resurrection, a decision point has been reached. A point of irrevocability has been passed. But it's not here in its fullness. Not yet. These prophecies will still be fulfilled. There is more yet to come. And so the church takes John the Baptist and Isaiah and this whole second book of prophecies as emblematic for the series of Advent. Because it's not just a time of preparing for Christmas. It's a time of looking forward to the fullness. That what has been given at Christmas is a definitive sign, but still only in anticipation. What we enjoy now at the table of the Word and the table of the sacrament is a magnificent fulfillment of the prophecy, but only a foretaste of the banquet to which we are yet invited. So, you have in your home two resources. One, a Bible. Two, a recording of Handel's Messiah. You have it somewhere. Get your Bible out. Open it up to Isaiah 40 and begin to read. Put that section up on your disc player or tape player or whatever it is you've got. There are more devices now than I can keep track of. And listen to that we heard so magnificently already this morning, a few times more. And while you're doing it, read through the prophecies. Be stirred. Know that it is already fulfilled in the return from exile. It is already over-fulfilled in the birth and life and death and resurrection of the Lord. And it is yet to be completely fulfilled. We still look forward. We still wait for this God who reveals, who heals, who liberates from exile, who brings up the valleys and down the hills, who straightens out the winding paths and makes the rough places plain. We still wait for this God, for this prophecy will be fulfilled in all its fullness. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.